Praise God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me for just a few moments to Psalm 50. Psalm 50, a psalm of Asaph. It's an instructional psalm, and it's an important psalm to you and me. Everywhere across America, you're going to see signs that have the service times on them out in front of churches, large and small. And they will say morning worship at a particular time and evening worship at a particular time. These are supposed to be worship services. And we assume or presume that God is accepting whatever we decide to offer Him in worship. Some of us feel like if we just show up here, that's the extent of our worship of the Lord. We went to church Sunday. Some people assume that because that's the only time you see any evidence that they really are God's people. They go to church on Sunday. So I went to church. I went to Mass. I went to the synagogue. I went wherever I went on the given day. At Christmas, some people will go for a Christmas service or a Christmas Mass, depending on their religious choosing. But worship involves the whole of your life, and it begins with the heart, and it begins with gratitude. And without gratitude in the heart, it doesn't really matter what we do at church, whether we sing in the choir or with the choir. It doesn't matter what kind of offerings we give. Without God looking in the heart and seeing genuine, authentic gratitude, He doesn't accept it. And there's no real blessing because the praise is not sincere. See, the Bible said that they that worship Him, and this is an imperative, they must worship Him. They must worship Him in spirit and in truth. For the Lord seeketh such to worship Him. Now we, as Pentecostals, when we see in spirit, we get joyously happy sometimes. And we shout and we sing and we dance before the Lord. Well, we used to. There was a time. I mean, you got the reputation, so you might as well enjoy yourself at church. But in spirit doesn't mean that you have some kind of spiritual dynamic or dimension to your worship that is put you head and shoulders above someone else. That's not what that's talking about. It's not getting in the spirit in order to worship. It is having the spirit of worship within your heart. Talks about truth, something authentic, something real, something genuine. So Israel is offering the prescribed sacrifices that God said, this is necessary for your sins to be forgiven. This is necessary to express your gratitude. Because one of the offerings, and I want to just mention it briefly, there was an offering for sin when the sin had been committed. There's the offering once a year for the sins collectively of ancient Israel under that Old Testament sacrificial system. And there were different animals to be brought. There's a grain offering. There's a drink offering. Different things to be brought for different occasions. But there was one, and the offerings were prescribed. Bring a lamb without blemish. Cut it out of the herd. Bring a grain offering, the first fruits, all of these different things. But there was one offering that was not prescribed, but highly desired by the Lord. But He wanted it to come from the heart, so He didn't prescribe it as part of the practice of your religion. But He highly desires it. And blesses those who offer it freely. And it's called the thank offering. If you offer a sin offering and it's accepted in the temple, then the requisite thing to do is to come behind the forgiveness of sin with a thank offering. To say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. If you prayed because your wife was sick and God delivered her, He answered that prayer. What did you do? Just went away nonchalant. No, remember the song? I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted from the Lord. He knew just what I wanted. I got just, well, good. You got what you wanted. You got what you needed. What do you do now? David put it this way. What shall I render to God? What shall I give back to Him? What is appropriate and requisite? What will God be honored with? For all His benefits unto me. It's a rhetorical question, really. David answers it, praise God. Amen. In Psalm 103, because he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And this is more than words. The words were expressing a heart attitude. The thank offering, there was no prescribed time. You could bring it at any time. You could offer it any amount. God wanted that to come from the heart. Isn't there a New Testament scripture that says, don't give of yourself, your time, your tithe, anything. Don't give anything to God grudgingly. See, that's attitude, not just your activity. Your activity, some people give and they don't get the blessing for their giving. They're wondering, what's up? Why don't God bless me for my giving? Some people don't give. But we know what's up there, right? Do we know what's up? If he that, you don't know what's up? You didn't know there was a law of sowing and reaping? If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. That's what's up. If you sow generously, you reap generously. That's pretty clear to me. Is it getting through? I know it's thick sometimes up here, even in my own head. But it needs to get through to us. Amen. We need to quit griping and complaining and start complying with the Word of God. Amen? Because that's where the blessing is. It's in obedience, not in... You can complain to God all day long, but I'm going to tell you, God is... The complaint department in heaven has been closed since Calvary. Amen? Amen? It's closed. It's shut down. You know what happened when they complained in the wilderness? What happened when they complained? Snakes that couldn't touch them. Until they started complaining, were able to bite every one of them. And poison was inside of them. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, take a pole, put a brazen serpent on it. In His mercy, He said, I still love them, and I want to take them where I've got them headed. But what brought the trouble into their life and gave the enemy, in that case, vipers were around them, but they could not touch them until they begin to complain. Is that in your Bible? That's in my Bible. Can you say amen? And yet we complain and then we wonder why all this bad junk begins to happen to us. Can you say amen? So you see, this is real important today. The thank offering was an offering given in response to God's forgiveness, God's help, God's healing, God's deliverance. When God answered prayer, when God forgave, when God accepted the sin offering, then the requisite thing to do, not because it is something you've got to do, but something you should want to do, that's when it blesses the Lord. So the New Testament spins off of that and said, when a man gives, he ought not do it grudgingly, nor out of necessity. See, it's necessary. Some people go to churches like joining a club. You join the club. If you don't tithe, you're not a member. You may attend, but you're not considered a member. And the rights and privileges of membership are not granted to you because you don't give X amount. And they want you to make sure you do it. And if we don't get it from the heart, Brother Taylor, God can't bless it anyway. And won't bless it. So, yes, sir. Every man. Oh, I like that. Yeah, thank you for getting that for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse, chapter 9 and verse 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give without compulsion. Not grudgingly nor out of necessity, for it is not willingly giving, it is not really Christ. If it is not willingly giving, it is not really Christian giving. For God loves a cheerful giver. This actually means a hilarious giver. And before we talk about money or the material world, let's talk about our life and our heart before the Lord. Can you say amen? I found out if God gets your heart, somehow or another he has your wallet included. It all works together. There's a connection between the two. Amen? So what he's talking about, whatever you offer as a thank offering has to come from the heart. Now, we've reduced this, and I don't have time to go into the detail. We've reduced this to a financial transaction with God. We sow into this, and God, and there is the law of sowing and reaping. Part of that is true. But the idea that without gratitude that brings true devotion, that God is going to just bless a monetary gift, is the same mistake Israel made. They offered the prescribed sacrifices, but they did not get the promised blessings. They were highly religious. They were at the apex of their religious worship when God told them, I'm not accepting it. You're offering it. I prescribed it, but there's something amiss, and it wasn't in the prescription of the requisite demanded sacrifices for certain things. It was the one that they failed to offer, and when they brought the prescribed ones, they didn't bring them to him with a grateful heart. And he looked past what they were doing, even though the religious activity was correct. He bypassed all of that and looked right at the attitude of the heart and said, what you're offering is unacceptable. Well, it's what you asked for, and I'm giving it to you to the T. He said, it's not acceptable till the heart attitude is correct. But when the heart attitude is correct, then it's acceptable. And then the promised blessing comes. People are questioning God for the promised blessing on their giving. And we're not correcting the attitude of our heart. See, when you correct the attitude of your heart, it doesn't matter if there was no promised physical material blessing. When you get grateful for your soul being saved and Jesus dying on the cross, it ain't about what you get back for giving. It's about what he's given you. And hallelujah, that can't be bought with silver or gold. Can you say amen? Listen, this is the New Testament is trying to get that across to us, because this is the teaching, amen, that in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. For you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold after the conversation of your fathers. Amen. Where money transactions governed everything. But you were bought with the precious blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Can you say amen? And the debt of gratitude that we owe, not because he demands it, but because he deserves it. And because it is so pleasing to him, not out of grudge. Listen, there some friends of ours, they used to go to our church, and they left and went to this humongous church, and they were in for a real shock when they got there, because when they got to the humongous church, there's humongous debts. And so everybody, they wanted to become a member, of course, because now I'm in this prestigious church. Well, part of being a member of the prestigious church was you had to give 10%. And you had to give them a financial statement up front when you applied for membership of how much was your income. So they, yes, come on, you know what I'm talking about. It's out of necessity, my dear friend. It's necessary to join the club. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying God doesn't want it, according to the word, out of necessity. You have to give a financial account. I used to go to a gym in Oh, I don't anymore. Don't look at me now. This is not the after or the before. This is way beyond before or after. This is what's left after the before and after. But I went to a gym in Temple Terrace, and there was a man there. He had a doctor's degree in physiology, and he ran a gym. He was also a bodybuilder, and he taught biology at King High School. Highly educated, and knew a lot about health and all of that. He was raised in the Catholic Church. And he saw his grandmother have to do what she considered penance, and she went barefoot in the snow and climbed the steps to a cathedral up north and hurt herself and trying to make amends for whatever. And he soured because the priest in that case would come and ask for donations and really pressure people in his situation. I'm not saying that across the board, but in his, and it soured him on anything to do with religion. And I'd been going for about a year. They knew me as Preacher Bob at the gym. In fact, when I was doing, I used to do 90-pound dumbbells back in the day, and I'd clang them together, and I had a bodybuilder come and help me, and he said, "Come on, Preacher Bob. Come on, Preacher Bob. You could do it. You could do it." And I'm trying to clang those things together, and he said, "Just pretend that the devil's right between them." Bang, boy. He knew how to get a preacher, amen, to inspire me. But you know something? I would hear him overworking out. He was taking the juice, and the juice then was the steroids. There were several pro wrestlers that came in. They were on the steroids, and he'd go in the back room and get a shot of the hormone, but it also made them aggressive. And I would hear that same guy, and he would, when he's trying to push something up, he'd use a curse word to inspire himself. He'd use a curse word, but he honored me. He said, "Would you spot me?" I said, "I sure will." But I thought, boy, on my ears, I'm going to have to pour peroxide in them as soon as I leave the gym. Because when he lifts that big heavy weight and starts oofing it up, he says those bad words. So I said, "I sure will." And I went over to spot him as he was lifting. And he was coming up, and I was almost ready to. Here it comes. Here comes the bad language. And because I was doing it, he said, "Gee, Willikers." And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." Amen. He honors my faith and my walk in God enough to say, "Gee, Willikers," instead of the other stuff. And so I told him. Every day I talked to him about the Lord. And finally, one Christmas, I'll never forget it, he said, "Preacher Bob," he said, "I'm going to church." This was about a month before Christmas season. He said, "I haven't been to church in years. I'm going to church." He went to a large Protestant church in Temple Terrace. So a week before Christmas, they had a building program going on. They talked the entire service about raising funds for their building program. And here sat a man that desperately needed to know Christ as his Savior. I was anxious because he said he was going to go. Didn't come to our church, but he went to a church. And I was glad he was going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I told him, I said, "I can't defend what you were exposed to, what was wrong there. But I can tell you, Jesus isn't like that." Amen. Don't judge Jesus by that, by a misrepresentation. Amen. Don't judge God by that. He loves you. He gave his son for you. I was excited that he was going to church. One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. I came back and he started telling me about his experience. I was anxious to know, "Did you go to church Sunday? Did you take your family?" He said, "Yes, I did." He said they had a building fund going on. The whole service was raising money for the building fund. He said, "On Tuesday, after I went to church on Sunday, two men came from the church, two elders from the church. They wanted to know what I did for a living." We're not talking to him about Jesus. Salvation, the love of God, the greatness of God, the goodness of God. "What do you do for a living?" He said, "I run a gym. I teach at King High School. I own a gym and teach biology at King High School." They were excited about a businessman with a vocation that paid decently. And they wanted him to commit. He hasn't even received Christ as his Savior. Their first and primary interest in him. Tears were running down his cheeks. He said, they wanted me to commit financially to the church. They haven't led him to Christ. He hasn't met the Lord. Tears were coming down his cheeks. And I could not defend what he was exposed to. When he became a number instead of a precious soul for Christ. When the church is so financially strapped that meeting the budget. Did you know meeting the budget determines whether the pastor is going to have a job? Not how well he preaches. Not how many people come to Christ, but meeting the budget. I know I worked with a man who's on the deacon board of one of the big churches, denominations in Tampa, Florida. He was on the deacon elder board, and they hired and fired pastors. And they said, our pastor's been with us, he named about 6 years. Said that's the longest any pastor has ever stayed in our pulpit. But as long as the budget is met. In other words, he's got a job as long as the budget's met. But when he fails to stimulate giving, just giving, not giving ourselves to the Lord. You know, I'm convinced if God has your heart, he'll have everything else and every need will be met. Not grudgingly, nor out of necessity. Because the Lord loves. That means he blesses, hallelujah, a cheerful giver. Not out of necessity and not grudgingly, but willingly. For the Lord loveth and blesses what? A cheerful giver. And it's not just of your substance. It's of yourself. It's of yourself. So the thank offering just corresponds with the New Testament so perfectly and beautifully. If I take a sin offering, I've sinned against the Lord. I know judgment is hanging over me. But I take a sin offering to the temple in that old system. And that sin offering, the priest accepts it and offers it in my behalf. What do I do? Go my way as if it never happened? Or do I offer a thank offering? It was also called a peace offering. Amen. Because you and God are no longer at any odds. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I bring something that is not prescribed. I bring something that is not a set time to bring. I bring something out of a willing heart because I want to, not because I have to. And God said, that's exactly the way I want it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So I'm going to read what he had against them while going through the proper actions without the proper attitude, which is thanksgiving. Listen to it in Psalm 50 real quickly. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken. Oh, by the way, let me finish this guy. I don't want to leave you hanging. I want to leave this guy all bitter and everything else. It was just before Christmas when this bad thing happened to him. I did not try to defend. I said this is not the correct representation of why Jesus went to the cross and what he did on that cross. I said, and I had my Bible with me. Amen. And I told him, I said, in this book, there's the true story of Jesus. We don't always get it right, but this is the true Christ. This is the God of Abraham. This is the Savior, the Messiah. And I believe you're going to find in him exactly what you're looking for. Amen. This man had a hungry heart for something in his life. He couldn't find it at church. Friend, we ought to be able to find it at church. We ought not be interested in people when they come in for what they can contribute initially financially, but the fact that they need a Savior. Hallelujah. And I believe if Jesus gets a hold of them, everything is going to change. And when people give, not grudgingly nor out of necessity, and not even stimulated by stuff. Because then again, it's not necessarily a free will offering. It's giving to get. I heard one of the most prominent charismatic preachers around that runs tens of thousands at his church and hundreds of thousands by television. He said, I read where Jesus said it's better to give than receive. And I was asking him for a revelation on that. Here's the revelation he claimed he got. It's because in giving that you get more. That was the revelation. And I thought, that's about as carnal as you can get. Because if Jesus had that mindset, he would have never went to the cross and gave himself a sacrifice. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. When it comes willingly, when it comes from the heart. See what God wanted in the thank offering? Amen. What he wanted in thank offering worship was the prescribed worship with a grateful heart. Willingly given, praise God, not as a job, but as a joy to serve the Lord. Can you say amen? That's why that word hilaro in the Greek is used in cheerful giving. Hilarious. It doesn't mean that it's funny. It means it's fun. Oh, you didn't hear me. I didn't say because it's funny, but because it's fun. It's a joy to do something that blesses the Lord. That becomes a, listen, the Bible said when we give with the right attitude in the New Testament, we get back into sacrificial language. It becomes a sweet smelling savor to God. Can you say, man, something that God actually enjoys? It's not that he needs it, but he deserves it. Amen. Listen to this. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and call the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come, shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous around about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Where does judgment begin? Does it begin in Reno, Nevada? Does it begin in San Francisco, California, Atlantic City, the casino over here? No, it starts here. He said, gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. In other words, let that sink in. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against thee. This sounds like one of the prophets, not the Psalms. Amen? I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee. Here it is. Listen carefully in light of what I've told you. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings. See, these were prescribed. It said, I'm not reproving you for not bringing them. You did. To have been continually before me. You didn't break the sequence. You came every time. It was the requisite time you came. But he said, I'm not accepting it in verse 9. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goat out of thy folds. For every beast of the... See, he said, you need to get this right. It's not that I need it. It's that you need it. Not because I demand it, but because I deserve it. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor no he goat out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, if God had a need for your worship, I wouldn't tell you. You couldn't feed him. Amen? For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Now, what's God after? What's he after? Because he's the one that prescribed these offerings that involve the bullocks and the goats and the fowls and the grain. Offer unto thy God something they wasn't bringing with it. Thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. Everybody say a thank offering. Because this is in the sacrificial language. This is not just worshiping with the choir. This is not just singing a worship song in the choir. This is an attitude of your heart between you and God. It's a thank offering. Can you say amen? Oh, and it gets good. It gets gooder and gooder as we go along. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Offer unto thy God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High. Now, there's a preacher that made several million dollars off of people using pay thy vows because he wanted you, if you made a covenant promise to send money, you better send it. Well, these were different vows. This was not about the material so you can get some stuff. This was about, amen, promising God, if you will deliver me, if you will forgive me, if you will help me, I will show gratitude to you. I'll pay my vows by showing gratitude to you. Amen. This is not just words. This is actions. This is what we do with our life. They brought that thank offering and said, I am so filled with gratitude, I want to show God. Amen. And when you brought that thank offering, it meant that something in the heart now wanted to live for God and serve God and honor God and reverence God. Can you say amen? Ingratitude is a sin that breeds rebellion and disobedience. It's a serious sin, and it leads to a darkened heart and spiritual blindness. He said, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High. In other words, bring the thank offering. And then in verse 15, see, we pull this out of the context of the imperative of gratitude in the heart. And we try to reduce everything to a financial system. But you know what he said? He said, you get this right and call on me. Then call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. Thou shalt glorify me. Can you say amen? You can pull that out of where it's written and come with ingratitude and try to claim a promise. But the promise is directly connected to an attitude of gratitude toward the Lord. Amen. Not out of necessity. Not grudgingly. But willingly. Because the Lord loves and blesses a cheerful giver. At midnight, Paul and Silas, who were going to be killed at daylight, but at midnight, getting headed for daylight, Paul and Silas in prison prayed and thanked him. Most of us, when it gets midnight in our circumstance, we don't thank him. We pray and accuse him. Oh, Lord, why did you let this trouble befall me? I am your servant. Why aren't you answering me? But at midnight, in that prison reserved for daylight to be executed, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And while they were, call on me and call on me and call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. You know what Jonah did in the whale's belly? In the depth of the ocean. You know what he did? He gave thanks to the Lord. Disobedient man. The author of his own trouble. Out of his own rebellion. But down in the bottom of the ocean, in the belly of that fish, he offered a thank offering. And the fish belched him up and spewed him out. Praise God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Pray. Oh, this, if this gets down on the inside of us, and oh, mashonde da barosha labakitia, oh, better than the hundredfold money or material blessings is a God who said, call on me in the day of trouble. Oh, I feel like MC Hammer. Can't touch this. Can you say amen? You get all your silver, all of your gold, give me a prayer answering God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Give me a prayer answering God. Give me a prayer answering God. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. I'm telling you. You can't touch this. You know what I'm talking about. Cancer isn't healed because of silver and gold, but a prayer answering God. Tumors don't go away because of silver and gold, but a prayer answering God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't buy, amen, enough medicine to reverse the effects of a stroke, but a prayer answering God can bring you out. Woo! Offer unto thy God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High and call upon me in the time of trouble and I will deliver you. Thou shalt glorify me. Can you say amen? Are we on the same page? We're almost done. Listen. Listen to what he says. Halabakoro shonde masalabada. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Verse 16. People are trying to claim a covenant. Never got right with God. Never even got truly saved. And there's somebody on television, not everybody, but somebody, don't care if you're saved or not. They just want you to claim a financial covenant so they can get your money and promise you that you're going to become wealthy. And people that don't even honor God are trying to claim a covenant. He said, if you are not part of my covenant family, amen, I have no obligation to you whatsoever. But if you are part of my covenant family, and you come to me with a grateful heart and bring a thank offering, call on me. Call on me. Call on me. In the day of trouble, I'll come through. I'll deliver you. Can you say amen? And when you're delivered, you'll give me the glory. They'll know that you have a God and that I have a people. Can you say amen? Listen. Hallelujah. Listen, oh, this is, it gets good and gooder and gooder. Seeing that thou hatest instruction and cast my words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, thou consented with him, and thou hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sitteth and speaketh against thy brother, and slander thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thought that I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you to pieces. Oh, you don't hear that from many pulpits, do you? Is there judgment? Sin unconfessed, will there be judgment? You would think there isn't. We're already trying to do away with eternal punishment and banishment. We don't even talk about hell anymore. But Jesus talked about it more than heaven in your New Testament. You can't have it both ways. You can't live in sin and abject rebellion and claim the benefits and blessings of grace. What? Shall we sin, Romans 6:16, that grace may abound? God forbid! Whoever you yield your members servants to obey, and the word is doulos and it means slave. His servant you are, whom you obey. Whether God unto righteousness or sin unto death. This is not salvation with works, by works. This is salvation worked out. 1 John says, and it's the litmus test of true salvation. There's a lot of phony out there, but there's a litmus test. It's in 1 John. He that committeth sin. Listen, let me preface that. We say we have no sin. We lie and do not the truth. But if we what? We're convicted. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all iniquity and unrighteousness. Listen. But he that committeth sin. You know what that word committeth? It's in the continual sense in the Greek. It means to live in habitually without conviction or repentance. And there are people that are trying to use grace as a permit to do that and claim salvation and blessings. He that committeth sin, everybody say live habitually in. Unconvicted, unconfessed. Are you ready for this from your Bible? He that committeth sin that way is of the devil. Make no mistake about it. He can't claim God because God doesn't claim him. So there's a lot of people sitting in churches that don't teach the truth. They're going to be in on a rude awakening. Because many, Jesus said, many in the day of judgment shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, I've done mighty works in your name. And he will say to them, depart from me, you that what? Committeth, live habitually in, committeth iniquity. I never knew you. It's not just your claim on Christ. It's his acknowledgement of you. He said, if you'll confess me before men, and that's not just something you do with your mouth, but with your life, I will confess you before my Father and his angels. But if you won't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. If you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. But if you confess me, I'll confess you. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Can you say amen? Oh, I want to see people get in a place where God can answer their prayers. It's not just a faith issue. It's a favor issue. You need to obtain his favor. Can you say amen? And one of the things that brings you into that good favor of God is not only doing the things that he prescribed, but doing it with the right heart attitude. Some people, when they hear about devoting to the Lord, they shrink from it. Because they know if they devote totally to the Lord, they're going to have to give up some of their pet sins that they indulge their flesh with. If I make a full commitment to Jesus and the Word of God says this is sin, this is wrong, I may have to give it up. Oh, friend, I want you to see what you're getting and what you have to where giving up that stinking sin in order to have God's blessings in your spirit, in your body, in your mind, in your life. And that stinking sin is worth giving up this blessing? No, it's not. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Let not sin reign in your mortal body to obey it in the lust thereof. That means you have a choice. I got to sin every day. No, you don't. Who told you that? Who told you that? Let no man deceive you. You're not going to answer to the man that told you you're okay when you're not. You're going to answer to God. And you don't want to wait until you're drawing your last breath to find out that the footsteps coming down the hall for your soul are not angels. You do not want to wait till then. You say, preacher, you're rocking the boat. Better I rock it than the devil wreck it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to go to bed tonight and know where you stand. Make your calling and your election sure. I want you to be able to pray and know that God is going to answer. And God is going to come through. Hallelujah. If we need a correction in our heart, I pray you'll make it this morning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And say, Lord, I love you for saving me. I love you for going to the cross. You're worth more than my flaky sins. And you're worth more than my flaky friends. What a friend I have in Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's it worth? What's it worth? It's worth more than all the silver and the gold. Listen carefully. Israel made the mistake of what religion is doing today. You know, some churches are happy just to have you hang out there, count the number to have your contributions. Not really concerned about your undying eternal soul. I have met people that went to church 8 and 10 years and never heard a message on repentance. Never heard a message on confessing your sin. And when they did confess. They had a good heart, but they were in a bad situation. And Israel thought, as long as we offer the prescribed sacrifices, God will take anything we give him because that's what he said he wanted. And no, he said the attitude has to back up the activity. And when it doesn't, I will take no bullock. That meant this sacrifice offering is rejected. till you correct the attitude, what you're offering is rejected. That means you can sit in this room with a rebellious heart. God says this, but I ain't going to do that. But I want his blessings. Well, of course you do. Don't everybody? Don't everybody want to be blessed? Sure we want his blessings. And there are preachers that are preaching right now. If you'll do this, God will do that. He's making promises that God never made. In fact, God said, listen, if I was hungry, you're not meeting the need in me. I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. You can't offer enough stuff on the altar. He's eternal. He's self-sufficient. It's not a need in God. It is a formula by which he can bless us legitimately. And he wants to. Call on me in the time of trouble. I want to be known as a prayer answering God. I want to be known as a healing God, a helping God, a listening God, and a lifting God. I want to mark my people with miracles. I want to verify my covenant. Promises of God are yea and amen, not just because of your faith, but because of your fidelity. Your faithfulness. Listen to it carefully. And then it gets gooder and gooder. At least it gets good to me because I want this kind of heart. And I need these kind of blessings. Verse 23 is the last verse. He said, make this adjustment in your heart and look what's going to happen. Whoso offereth praise. I want to stop right here. Whoso offereth praise. Do not read this as what we just did in this service. Well, wasn't that praise? Yeah, it was. And you know something? Before it ever reached the ear of God, he looked into the hearts of every one of us. So don't think that what we just did is what he's after in and of itself. This word praise, this is all about sacrificial. Isn't it about, I'll take no bullock, I'll do this, I won't do that. About these offerings prescribed without the right attitude. It's all in sacrificial language. This is literally saying in any good reference Bible, whoever offers thank offerings. It's got to be filled with genuine, authentic gratitude. Ingratitude will separate you from God's blessings. It'll lead you to a life of disobedience. If a man love me, what happens when you filled with gratitude? He'll keep my commandments and listen. It won't make you look so bad and sad. Because now you gotta go to church. And you gotta do this and you can't do that. My yoke is easy, he said. You got it all wrong. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. This is to set you free from self, from sin, and from Satan. Hallelujah. And when you're set free from self and sin and Satan, you can walk in the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Wow. Whoever offers thanksgiving glorifies me. And to him that orders his conversation, that means his behavior, his lifestyle aright. To him will I show the salvation. That is not New Testament born again. This is Old Testament deliverance. God hearing. God answering. God delivering and coming through. One translation says, he that brings thank offerings to the Lord from the heart paves the way for his supernatural deliverance and miracles. Paves the way. See, you can't just throw your faith out there. Well, what happens when the way is paved for his miracles and his supernatural and his deliverance? When we pave the way, he comes through. We see. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me when I do it. Told you it gets gooder. What an incentive. What an incentive. In his sermon on Psalm 103 in closing. Clovis Chapel says, and that's, you know, I will bless the Lord at all times. This is gratitude that's continual. Clovis Chapel says that on the Clovis Chapel says on the west coast of England, there's a grave of a man who was much loved by all who knew him. When he died, these words were inscribed on his headstone. Here lies a man who is satisfied with Jesus. Here lies a man who was what? Satisfied with Jesus. He was grateful. He was thankful for what he had. He didn't live his life complaining about what he didn't have. We brought nothing into this world. And we can take nothing out of this world. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Be content with such things as you have. Because you have something that makes you so rich in comparison. For he has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Can you say, man, that we might boldly say, what? Out of that gratitude that is always expressed instead of complaining, that we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Didn't he say he would deliver you? Yes. Woo! I won't fear what man can do because God is for me. You see it all lining up. Wow. What would happen if everybody in here got a fresh anointing of gratitude? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name. What happened? My transmission just went out. Where's my brother? He went to the bathroom. I'll holler louder so he can hear me. Thank him anyway. Thank you for a car. So the transmission could go out. We don't know what we got or how to use it sometimes. Missionary, they were building a road between a village way up in the hill. There he is. Amen. We're all going to thank him anyway today. Listen. And a missionary went and he had enough money to buy 12 brand new wheelbarrows. They were clearing rocks so they could build a road 8 miles from that village to a little community where they could go and barter and buy things. But they had no road to go back and forth. They were taking rocks by the handfuls and moving them around off of that road. He bought them 12 brand new wheelbarrows because they were a missionary had ordered and some construction work had went and they had them sitting there for almost nothing. He bought 12 wheelbarrows, brand new. Everybody ever know wheelbarrow? You know, anybody? You've heard the joke, get away from that wheelbarrow. You don't know nothing about machinery. Well, these were these people. They knew nothing about machinery. He had them delivered to the people building that road. He spent another week in that community because he had to get supplies and meet another missionary. When he got back, you know what he saw? He saw them using the wheelbarrows. They were filling them full of rocks. Then picking up the wheelbarrows, took 4 men. 2 in the front and 2 in the back. You'd think it was pretty simple, but if you've never seen one of them suckers, you don't know what to do with it. There they are, picking up the wheelbarrow full of rocks and packing it. They got the weight of the rocks and the wheelbarrow. Don't you know what a joy it was when he told them how to do it and one man could pick it up and push it? Woo! 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 Don't you know what's going to happen in the church when we rightfully divide the word of God? Amen. Hallelujah. When we get it right in our heart and God begins to answer prayer and God begins to heal and God begins to deliver and God begins to provide and God begins to set free. Woo! You can't touch this. Call upon me in the... And what happens to happen first? A hard attitude that affects our behavior toward God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. One more scripture as we close. Fifth closing. What shall I offer unto him? And he said it's got to be a thank offering. It's got to be something you give from the heart. I desire it, but I do not demand it. Because if I demand it and you do it and it isn't from the heart, I can't bless you for it. But if you give it from the heart, I'll receive it as a spirit and truth worship offering. Listen to this carefully. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He wanted gratitude before any activity. He wanted a heart attitude. Listen, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. What's that mean? He pointed him to the cross. Jesus died, suffered, bore the wrath of God in your behalf that you might be saved. And in light of that, offer. Here's the thank offering. Here's the thank offering. Offer your body. A living, offer it. A living. Come on, that's devotion. Not emotion. That is devotion given because of gratitude for what he gave you when he gave his son and what he gave you when he gave his life. Offer your body a living sacrifice. Sacrificial language again. Can you say amen? Holy and acceptable. When it's offered freely out of gratitude, it's accepted. It's sanctified holy in God's sight. Hallelujah. Praise God. The gift doesn't sanctify the altar. The altar sanctifies the gift, and then God can receive it. Offer your body, the whole of your being. Your body is the container for your soul and your spirit. It's the whole of you to God. It's an acceptable sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. That in the Greek goes deeper because it said that is your true spiritual worship. Worship him in truth. That your true spiritual worship is what you behave, not just what you believe, not just what you say, but what you do. Because you're going to go out of here and you're going to do some doing. So what you say in here starts to have to match up with what you do, or God doesn't receive it. Remember the song? When everybody gets sentimental, and almost everyone sings it without exception. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. It's not a children's anthem. We should love him for first loving us. But love had better go beyond the religious brand we see today. If it doesn't bring devotion, what good is for me to tell Pamela I love her? I've told her that for 50 anniversaries. But when she's feeling bad and I do the dishes, I heard a cackle in there, a hee-haw and a guffaw. It pleases her. It blesses her. She goes off to get her hair done. She's feeling bad with the cold, and I vacuum the floor and empty the garden. So love not in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So when God talks about worship, he's talking about gratitude, thanksgiving. Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service or your true spiritual worship. And be no more conformed to this world. That means don't let the world push you into its mold, press you into its mold, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove and exemplify what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. That is the thank offering. In the New Testament, it's not a bullock or an ox or a pigeon or a dove. It's you. It's me. Hallelujah. Don't hold back. Because when you offer a thank offering from the heart, he said, call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. But not just because you're following the prescribed religious rituals, which I prescribe, but because in your heart Man looks on what? All of our practice of the outward appearance. I just saw in one of those real life cop shows, two couples in a prominent church in Georgia. Big church. Active in church. Two couples. 35, 38 year old. One man coveted his best friend's wife. She, come on, this happens in church. This is not just relegated to the world. And then she opened up to his advances, and they began a torrid affair. He was a youth leader in his 30s, young enough to still identify. I'm in my late 60s, but I still identify. When's the last time you see a youth leader do MC Hammer? Can you say amen? I still identify. Represent. I don't know how you do that, but represent. Listen to me. They get in a torrid affair. They find the husband, the honest, hard-working, church-going husband, stabbed to death in the chest. I'm trying to figure out who did it. This is true. This is actual. This is not a Hollywood or television thing. This is chronicles from the police files. Watched it this week because it had to do with church people. And I thought, dear Lord, these are church people. See, that's what the district attorney was taking back. They sat in church every Sunday. And here's the worst part. Here's the worst part. This is how deceptive the devil is and sin is. Listen to me. That's why I'm giving you warning. I'm telling you about the blessing, but I'm giving you the warning. You can't serve two masters. It's impossible. You will love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can serve God with mammon, but not and mammon. It's the only time that wealth and money for the sake of self-indulgence is given an actual name, mammon. Listen to me carefully. So you know how they finally got all the evidence against him and finally got him to confess? Because the lady conspired to tell him when he would be vulnerable at a particular time and place. And they were sharing these emails. And these emails, they had every kind, and it wasn't sexual innuendo. It was explicit sexual language. Explicit. Hustler, R-rated sexual language, because they were so involved with one another. And at the end of each one of their lust letters, you know what they ended it with? A scripture from the New Testament. Yes. So if you think the devil is going to not tempt you, bother you, and you can get by with sin just because you show up in church and sing or do whatever you do, you're very wrong about that. This is serious. Sin is serious. But so is God. He's serious about delivering and setting free. And if God ever captures your heart, He will begin to be able to guard your life. Pamela was reading Psalms, and she's getting a whole lot out of the Psalms. One of the things God said He would do in closing, you know what He said He would do? He said, I will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. I will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, and I will break the snare. You know how to catch a bird? You got to cover that trap. You got to conceal it. If the bird thinks that there's something danger, he won't come near it. Amen. God is a good God. He's not trying to keep you from having fun. He's trying to keep the devil from hurting you. He sees what you don't see. I walk my dog every day. We go for our walk, and one night we chased a possum together. He chased and drugged me, but we chased that possum. Amen. I walk him, and he barks at everything. He barks at people on bicycles. He barks at people on cars. He's protective over me. Amen. He sees a possum, he barks. He sees a raccoon, a cat, he barks. He barks. He bristles. The hair on his back stands up. If he was a pit bull, I wouldn't even have to, look over my shoulder. Nobody'd come. come near me because, boy, he's little, but he's wiry. 30 pounds of meanness when he turns that. He's not mean, but when he turns those bristles up and he barks like he barks. And we walked this particular walk by a cow pasture, and he's seen everything and barked at it. He ain't afraid of nothing until the other night. We were walking about 9:30 at night. We got by this cow pasture. There was a sidewalk, but no cars on the road, cow pasture. And my dog stopped. And I stopped. I looked. I didn't see anything. But he saw something. I don't know what he saw, but it scared my dog. And he ain't scared of nothing. And I thought, if it scared my dog, that's good enough for me. He turned around, laid his ears back, and took off. Now, I don't jog anymore. I walk. My knees, I don't do jogging. Thank you for calling to see how I was. I was gone all day, but I want you to know I thank you for being concerned. I think of you when I get aches and pains. Anyway, God is good. We're aging well, brother. We're still going, ain't we? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, he laid his ears back, and he took off, first trotting and looking back over his shoulder into that pasture. Now, I don't know what was in that pasture, but I thought it's good enough for my dog, it's good enough for me. I picked up to a trot. He looked back. He went into a dead run, and I went into a dead run. I'm still, my calves are still hurting. We ran a quarter mile to where I had my van parked. We got to the van. He jumped in, I jumped in. My wife, we're still discussing it. What do you think he saw? I said, I don't know. But I know there was a donkey in the Bible that saw an angel with a sword drawn. And so maybe he saw something that I needed to see. But I trusted him. He'd never done it before, never done it since. Let me tell you something about God. God sees when the devil is laying his trap for you. God watches him meticulously laying the trap. And you know what he said? If you'll listen to my word, if you'll humble your heart, amen, and show me a heart willing to obey, I'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler, and I'll break the snare. Can you say amen? Woo! And I'll guide thee with mine eye. Praise God. Hallelujah. The devil's been laying traps for me for 50 years. I'd like to tell you some of them didn't hurt me, but some of them did. Enough of them hurt me to make me want to be more sensitive to the Lord. Can you say, man, more sincere in my walk? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you stand to your feet today, brother? Will you come? Did you get anything out of this message today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many want to make a heart adjustment? Let God help you make a heart adjustment to serve Him out of deep gratitude, to love Him back for loving you enough to give His Son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just praise you. I better put my glasses on. I won't know what to play. Hallelujah. Did I give you 10,000 reasons? Praise the Lord. And here it is. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to get up in the morning with a hallelujah. I want God to keep correcting me. We talked about it on the way in. Let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Can you say amen? Because he's looking and he's listening. Praise God. I don't want to be one of those complaining. Always poor old me. Amen. I want to start praising him. I want to start thanking him. I want to start seeing my prayers answered. I'm seeing them answered. I want to see more answered prayer. I want to be able to represent the blessings of the Lord. Can you represent? Everybody say, well, what's the sign? It's not a bad sign, is it? Represent? That ain't it? Nobody will show it. It must be bad. I'll keep my hands closed. It's bad. It's bad. It's not bad to represent. It's just a sign. It means I represent. Where's my young people? You don't know either. Did you ever hear of MC Hammer? Well, I represent a great king and a glorious saint. You just represent. You just represent. It is what it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it is what it is. Glory be to God. Amen. God's blessings are real. God's promises are real. God's word is true. Can you say amen? And when you order your conversation aright, whoso offereth thank offering praise, when you order your conversation aright, to him I will show the salvation of my God. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but I need those blessings. I need those answers. I need this supernatural intervention, this favor of the Lord in my life and on my family. Can you say amen? So I'm coming to church with a hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your wonderful name. There's 10,000 reasons to praise his name if we'll just begin to get an attitude that counts the blessings of the Lord toward us. Let's give him praise as we get ready to leave here and prepare to gobble till we wobble.